Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. And by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct by your Holy Spirit. May your will be accomplished in everything. And Father, we pray that we would submit to your word as your people. And for those that are lost, help them to see their need to be saved before it's everlasting too late by trusting in Jesus Christ alone. For Father, we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. We're going to get into a deeper subject today, and it's not that deep biblically. It's deep because people's emotions and what people want to do and things of this nature. I'm pretty sure this is going to take at least two messages to go through. But before we dig into the subject today, I would like to say that, Lord willing, this Wednesday night, we're going to be up in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, at the River Bend Campground there. And if you just look up River Bend Campground, Tennessee, I believe it's River Bend Loop that goes around. There's a pavilion there outside where you can bring your own chairs. There are some benches and things there. It is covered in case of rain, but we'll be there 7 o'clock, Lord willing, Wednesday night. We're certainly looking forward to that, to preach a message, and we certainly pray that if you're in that area that you'd feel more than free to come. We'd be glad to meet you, glad to see you, and we're certainly praying for that service and God's will to be done there. Again, we're getting into a subject today that I know is not popular and I know is not accepted in our day and time because we've become a people that has followed the ways of the world. And I have to say this also, what I'm preaching against, and there's many times, the only thing that deals with salvation is whether a person has seen themselves as a sinner by the Word of God and they turn by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. That salvation. And I like to say that because sometimes when you preach on certain sins, people say, well, you just hate these people or you're saying they all go to hell. I'm not even saying that these people that do these things are better or worse than I am. I'm not saying any of that. And I know you have to give a lot of disclaimers sometimes when dealing with things. And there's times when people even commit certain sins and you're like, you wouldn't want these people, you know, to come to church. No, I'd love people to... There's not a sin that I know of that I wouldn't want people that's been guilty of a certain sin to come where I preach. Our goal is reconciliation. Our goal is repentance. And I've preached in all kinds of places, including prisons and jail cells, and I've gone to all kinds of communities. I've gone to different countries to preach the gospel. I've come across a lot of different people and a lot of different points of view than what I believe that the Bible teaches. And I've tried to share the gospel. I've tried to show love to people. And listen, even what we're dealing with today, I've got friends. And just to tell you the subject, we're going to deal with tattoos. And I've got friends that have them. I've got people that go to church where I go and visit or I'm a member at, and even where I've pastored that have had tattoos. So if you're thinking I'm just trying to tear down somebody because they've got a tattoo, that's not what I'm doing. But the subject is rarely ever preached on. There's churches that it's probably been 30, 50, I don't know how long some churches have gone without even dealing with the subject. And a lack of teaching for God's people is not a good thing. We can do things that are against the Word of God and not even know it if it's not taught. And we have felt burdened with this message for quite a while, and we've just struggled on how to preach it and how to come across it. And I ask for your prayers. I sincerely do. Because you're not going to hear me come across and say, well, you're a sorry rascal because you got a tattoo. That's not what I'm going to preach. That's not what I'm going to teach. And if you've already got one, listen, it's done. But repentance is needed. Seeing sin is needed in all forms, in all places. And we're going to look at several different things. and go through some scriptures, and I hope that you understand that this is not even just a message on tattoos. It'll touch on some other subjects too. And I pray that you listen to the Word of God, not me. I'm not trying to force anything down you. Listen, you can say, well, I got tattoos, so he wouldn't like me at his church. I'd love for you to come. And I believe if you meet me, you'd know that I would love you and I would treat you just as well as I'd treat anybody else, because there's more than somebody's Christianity than a tattoo. At the same time, I don't want people doing things that go against the teachings of the Word of God. And I'm doing that for your sakes, for your benefit, not mine. And I hope that you can understand that. And I want to begin in the book of Malachi, chapter 6. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures, so if you want to take notes, that's fine. We put these sermons on sermonaudio.com, usually the day that they're preached on the radio. So you can go there, look up my name, Brandon Hartfield, or my home church, Clear Branch Baptist Church, and you can find this message if you want to go back and listen to it. And we'll certainly be glad to do that for you. But again, we're beginning in Malachi chapter 3, and looking at verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now, there are people that try to teach that the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. That's not true. It's not true at all. We've been doing a study on the book of Hebrews where I pastor, and in trying to show people that all that's been done in the New Testament is some things in the Old Testament have been fulfilled in Christ. So they're no longer needed. There were things that, you know, that you dealt with clothing that was to represent not mixing things together, and that really dealt with sin, godliness versus ungodliness. I know some people tried to use that for something different than God intended it for, but that was the purpose, righteousness versus unrighteousness. And that's also taught in the New Testament. What conversation had the children of God with the children of Belial or these other people? You know, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? And which is also very important what we're dealing with today. Also in Hebrews chapter 13, it tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Well, he was before the creation of the world. He's been with God from the beginning. And he's a part of God. He's God the Son, God the Father. God has not changed. And when we're looking at moral issues, and when we're looking at even the reason for the moral issues being taught, we need to understand that God has not changed. And we're going to deal with Old Testament and New Testament and show that he has not changed. But one of the things that we need to understand is back in the book of Proverbs, you can turn back to Proverbs chapter 12, and you're going to find here some things that we need to be aware of ourselves. And in Proverbs 12, in verse 15, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Over in chapter 16, in verse 2, it tells us here, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." And we can always justify things in our own sight. Well, I don't see this as being wrong. Well, there's things more important than this. Just because there's things more important doesn't mean that that's not important. The Word of God is shorter than most novels. When you're going from Genesis to Revelation, God didn't waste ink. And everywhere you find something written in the Word of God, it has a meaning and a purpose. And sometimes there are ceremonial things. Sometimes there are things that are put as an allegory. You've got some different things that are made for different purposes. And rightly dividing those things is very important and putting them in their proper place. But we can't make the Word of God say what we want it to say. And there's a lot of people that they open up their Bible studying to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, because we're trying to honor God, not ourselves, and we're not even trying to please other people around us. I have some people say, well, this preacher, this rabbi, this person over here said this, this person over here. Stop that. A preacher cannot justify anything. A priest, a pope, a rabbi, whoever it is, they cannot justify anything. And their opinions are meaningless. Because their opinion is no greater than yours. And their opinion is no greater than an atheist if it's not backed by the Word of God. The Word of God is what matters. And we can always justify ourselves in the eyes of God. But we need to look for what thus saith the Word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And we need to compare Scripture with Scripture to see what the Word of God is saying. I can search out the Scriptures and I can look at it from the perspective, I'm going to see if this is okay. If I can get away with this. You're going to find out a whole lot of things you can get away with. Then you might want to study the Bible saying, what would God desire me to be? And let me tell you, you're going to find a lot shorter list of what things you need to be doing and what things you don't need to be doing. And if we're trying to honor God, what we're searching for is what would God have me to do, not what would God allow me to do. God even allowed people to go off into vile sins, and He gave them over to a reprobate mind. He allowed that. What God will allow people to do, you can find an endless list for. What God would have His people to do is a totally different subject. And how we study the Word of God, either we're studying it trying to justify ourselves, trying to justify our actions, or we are searching the Scriptures to please and honor God. There's a big difference between the two. And I hope that you understand that. And all the ways of man, listen, they're right in our own eyes. And trust me, I've had those things in my own life. I've had times when I've justified anger, when I've justified unforgiveness, when I've justified a lot of different things in my life that didn't fit Scripture. And I had to come back to God and say, God, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. By man's standards, by man's point of view, by man's feelings. And I had preachers and I had people in church and I had other people telling me that my feelings and everything I was doing was fine and right. But when I came to the Word of God, I found something different. And that's the way it is in a lot of the things that we do. If we'd search the Scriptures. And sadly, we're living in a time where people are going by emotions, feelings, and their own thoughts, which is a dangerous thing. We know that's taught also in the book of Proverbs. That it is a dangerous thing for a man to lean on his own ideas instead of the ways of God. It's a dangerous thing. So seeing all that, we're going to turn back to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. In verse 28, he said, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. There's no denying this is dealing with tattoos. Now, the history of tattoos is it comes from paganism. It comes from false religions. Some people claim it came from countries below Egypt. And some people claim that it started with the Grecians and the Romans. And some of that was to mark their slaves, to mark them as property, is the way that they did it. Some was in some spying and things that they did there. But it was very pagan in its orientations. And of course, it got to be that a lot of people, you know what they did? They lost a loved one and they would make some marking on their body for that lost loved one. They had a victory in battle, and they were, you know, a great warrior, and they would mark their victories in battle on their bodies. Some even did it with things in their beard. They would have their beards and show, I'm of a higher class or a higher standard than you. But with God, there is no class system. God is no respecter of persons. He's not concerned with how much money we have. He's not concerned with our last name. He is concerned about whether we've trusted in Christ and whether we're following the teachings of Christ in our life after salvation. God's no respecter of persons. And so he is letting his people know, I don't want you doing these pagan things. And no doubt this would have been common themes that they would have seen even in Egypt, knowing that some of the nations right around Egypt are even some that's declared to have originated these things. And he said, I don't want you doing that. I don't want you marking the dead upon your body. I don't want you marking up your body. I want you to be a separated people unto me. And how you live your life, being a nation of laws and obedience to God, that's how he wanted his people to be known. That they would, the world would see their good works and glorify their Father which is in heaven. He wanted their works of serving God to speak volumes. He didn't want them to have to mark upon their body to speak. He didn't even want scripture marked upon their body. He didn't want, you know, the cross marked upon their body. And some people say, well, if I put a cross, you know, it's a godly thing. Does God want a mark on your body or does he want obedience? God's got a pattern of how he wants his people to live and do things. And he is the one that said, I don't want you cutting upon your flesh. I don't want you marking on your body. I don't want that. I want something different on you. And I want it to be how you serve me, how you love me, how you work. Let your works, and of course those works are the good works, the faithfulness of keeping the commandments of God. He said, that's where I want your focus to be. And this teaching is taught in the New Testament. When we think about markings on our flesh, are they to honor God or are they to honor us? Now let's get to that. We've got to get to the heart of the issues. Most people that have tattoos, what is it for? Well, I want to show you this and I want to show you, look at this art. And it's a look at me thing. Now there are people that have tattoos where you can't see them. I understand that. But for most, it's a symbol to somebody. And sometimes it's a symbol of their child. Maybe a family member that they've lost. Maybe a mother, a father. Some, it's experiences they've had in life. But it's about them, not God. And you say, well, if I put a scripture on it, you're still making it about you, not God. God wanted our life to show our Christianity. That's what he desired. Is that our life reveals our Christianity, how we live and what we do. Not just markings. Not just the outward appearance. And when I'm saying that, I'm dealing with tattoos. I know that he teaches modesty and things of that nature, but he wanted it to be seen by how we live our life. And moderation was a big part of that. Modesty is a big part of that. And we're going to deal with some things on modesty. But you know, I think about John the Baptist when he made the statement in John chapter 3 and verse 30. He talked about Jesus and he said, he must increase and I must decrease. Do you know that's the attitude that we as a Christians have? And it goes to every aspect of our life. That what I want is not as important as what God wants. But a lot of Christians have that. And I say Christians loosely. I know that's just a term. A Christian is actually a follower of Christ. There's a lot of churchgoers, I might need to say. There's a lot of people that go to church and profess Christ, that they live their life following their lusts, their desires, and not the will of God. And God wants us to decrease in what we want so that we can increase in what he wants. That people no longer see me, but they rather see Christ dwelling within me. Now, if I'm marking up my body and I'm trying to show off things of my body, I'm not doing that, am I? And again, the start of this thing being in paganism and the issue that he's dealing with here, they mark upon their flesh. They do these things. He said, I don't want that for you. We need to take that into account. Now, and the reason that we do is because our life is about him and not about us. He told us in Romans chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2 that he wanted us to be a living sacrifice unto him. That means we're letting go of what we want for what God wants. And we're denying ourselves daily to follow Him. And He said, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed in the renewing of your mind into the things of Christ, right? That's the teaching of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Am I trying to fit in with the world, or am I trying to fit in with God? Am I conforming my body to the mind of Christ and the things of God, or am I conforming it to me? There are sadly many people that are following, I want to say that correctly, that are saying that they're following God while they're really following what they want in life. It's about their hobbies. It's about their loves. And we've come to the place in Christianity that we are so much like the world, you can't tell the world separated from God. And it used to be that you could. And you could see it in the way that they conducted their lives and the way they presented themselves. And it is an old teaching for centuries, going back to Christ and even going before Christ, at least 1,500 years before into the Old Testament, that tattoos were something that God's people didn't do. And there's a lot of history on this, and you have to find some itty-bitty examples here and there of people that actually rebelled against God to find the examples that you want to find. But this was always a settled doctrine in the church until recently. Until people became more focused on the pagans and being like, man, I like the Vikings and I like this group over here and this is some cool movie I've watched or this is some cool guy I'm following. And man, look at the tattoos and artistry and all this other stuff. And we got our eyes off of following God and we got our eyes focused on following our lust. And we need to see that's the root of a lot of this. And I guess a good place to turn is to look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, you're going to find something. You say, well, this is written to women. Bear with us for a time and you'll see some things. Because things that are just written to women is also an example to the men. Men, we're supposed to lead by example. We're the leaders, right? God's called us to be the head of the homes. That doesn't mean we're a dictator. We're to lead by example. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're to submit ourselves to our head, which is Christ, or our wives submit themselves to their head, which is the husband, and the children to their parents. And there's an order that God has set up. But there's submission in every line, even as Christ submitted himself unto the will of his Father. There's a line there. And so just because something's written towards women doesn't mean there's not a lesson for us men in it. But we look in 1 Peter chapter 3, and looking at verse 3, it talks about how the world... Let's begin back at verse 1. Verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won with by the conversation of the wives. And he's talking about the wives being able to win their husbands to Christ because of the Christian life that they live. He says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That chaste conversation. Men, you don't think we need to have a chaste conversation also? There are scriptures that deal with that. Even for us men, we need to have that. And a conversation is more than just voice, a voice conversation. We convey so much more with our actions than we do with our words. And that chaste conversation here is actually talking about a lifestyle, not just an individual one-on-one conversation of words. And I think we all know that. He said, who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting the hair and of the wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And we're all taught to live a quiet and peaceable life. Bible teaches that for all of us. But he's talking about this conversation. He said, listen, I don't want you adorning with the outward adorning. There are some people that try to show off. And there was a time when Christians didn't wear makeup. It just wasn't done. They didn't do it. There's many Christian women I know to this day still don't wear earrings. And I can even say don't wear makeup. Oh, that must be ugly. No, they're beautiful. And I'm not preaching on makeup or not makeup, please understand. But there are people that try to adorn themselves and look lovely on the outside, but inwardly they're ugly. There's people that try to dress immodestly to show off their body because they don't have something better to attract men with. Which is works, isn't it? They're good works. You go back to the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Let her works praise her. I will say this. She didn't just dress slouchy. But she did dress modestly. She even had some purple and fine linen, some nice clothes. But it was modestly worn. She was letting her works praise her. And she wasn't trying to adorn herself by saying, well, I've got to adorn myself with these earrings and I've got to adorn myself with, you know, the plaiting of the hair and all these other things. And I mean, we've gotten to the place that we even do a lot of coloring on their hair. Some women, I don't know, they remember their natural hair color. And probably the same on some men nowadays. You know that the Bible even says that gray hair is a glory? An hoary head is the way it's worded in the King James Bible, an hoary head. That if it's earned righteously, it's a precious thing, but we're kind of ashamed of gray hair. Amazing the culture we live in, isn't it? And how many Christians have bought into the culture we live in instead of the culture of God in Christ? And see, that's the real essence of what we're trying to preach and get to. We might title this Dealing with Tattoos. But the real message we're trying to get to is that we've bought into the culture of the world instead of buying into the culture of Christ. There's a kingdom that we belong to, and God says, I got my kingdom, and there's a certain way I want my people to be seen, and how I want them to live, and how I want them to do, and I don't want them to be like the world. Be not conformed to this world. Remember Romans chapter 12? But how much are we conformed to this world? And I have to ask myself the same question. Well, I might not have tattoos. There's other things of the culture of this world that I might have in my life that's not fitting with the culture of Christ. And see, that's the real message we're trying to get to. And these things are rarely, if ever, preached anymore, even amongst those that say we're Bible-believing Baptist churches. We're King James only, and man, we follow the God, Lord, and we follow the Scripture. Even in a lot of those churches, we don't see how far we have drifted away from God. And tattoos, even dealing with that, that's just another symptom of the actual sin. The actual sin is we've conformed to the world, and we've not conformed to Christ. And again, this doesn't deal with salvation. It's not calling you a horrible, miserable person because you had a tattoo. That's not what we're doing. And I pray that you see the heart of what we're trying to accomplish. We're going to come back and deal with this some more next week. And I pray that it could be a blessing as we dig in the Scriptures and search for the truth. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory. for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.